Today on The Perceptive Photographer, we're going to be talking a little bit about resistance and some of the ways resistance can manifest itself and impact our work. I am your host, Daniel Gregory. I hope you are having a wonderful week and a beautiful sunny day no matter where you are. Today, the sun actually came out here as I'm recording the podcast for the first time in a while, so it's pretty exciting up here in the studio up here in the old Pacific Northwest on Whidbey Island to have a little sunshine, so I'm excited about that. Just a quick reminder that there is a Lightroom Summit coming up here on May 20th through 24th. So if you're interested in a free week of Lightroom training, head on to my website, danieljgregory.com. Scroll down a little bit on that homepage and you'll see a great big graphic you can click on. It'll get you a free registration for that summit. Also, if you're interested in that same week of getting a little bit more in-depth workflow training and personal help on your Lightroom workflow settings, edits, the new things in Lightroom, go ahead and click on my Education and Workshops tab and sign up for that workshops that's on May 18th and 19th. It'll get you all primed and ready for a full week of Lightroom training. Like I said, today's topic is about resistance and how resistance sort of manifests itself in different ways inside our photographic creative process. And I'm not completely opposed to resistance. I actually think resistance serves a pretty significant creative practice unless it becomes Sisyphean in its approach, where we never really get over the resistance. But I do think there are times when that resistance is there to help us create a little bit of space, to create a little bit of room for us to potentially explore. And so I think sometimes when we hit resistance, it's important for us to stop and reflect on really what is the nature of the resistance. Where is it coming from? What purpose is it serving? Is it actually helping me allow time to come in to re-examine something? Or is it just there because it's basically trying to prevent me from doing something that I want to be doing? So understanding the nature of the resistance is, I think, an important process. And, you know, one of the easiest ways to deal with that is to spend some time doing some daily journaling or maybe talking about it, but getting out of your own head. I mean, that's the big part of resistance, is oftentimes it's this strange manifestation that sits only in our own psyche. And so just getting it out oftentimes is enough to reduce that effect of the resistance in our process. But today I wanted to talk about, like I said, five forms of resistance that come up in my own creative practice, creative process, that I think hopefully you recognize at least one or two of those in your own work. And what is it about them that impacts the way we work, and how can we sort of figure a way around some of that resistance as it appears? And the first one is a resistance to change, which is probably where most resistance sits, is I've already decided what I think is the right way, the best way, the smart way, the correct way to do something, or it's the way I've always done it, and therefore it's comfortable. Therefore, it's something in my realm of I know, and I like to be smart, and I like to think I'm smart, and I like to look smart, and I like to wear my I'm Smart t-shirt, and all the different things I might tell myself about why accepting something different, doing something different might be a challenge. But part of that resistance to change is it's the impediment to learning. It's the impediment that keeps us from taking steps forward to experience new things. In all of insanity, same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. If I am unwilling to try something different, if I'm unwilling to be open to the new experience, I'm going to be unwilling and unable to create new work and new interesting work. Because part of what comes out of change is our understanding of who we are in the world and how that manifests in our own photography. If we're creating new and exciting work, we're having to embrace change on some level. We can't be completely resistant to it, because it's the new awareness of what we're doing photographically that is the result of our willingness to give up what we already know, to embrace that which we don't, to change, to morph, to always continue to become something different through that evolution of who we are as an artist. If we're creating the same exact photographs we created 10, 12 years ago, they might be technically looking a little bit more proficient, but we have not taken any steps forward. And part of, again, the part of the creative practice is to better understand our own place in the universe and our own connection to who we are in this world. Without that change, resisting that opportunity to take that step forward is a massive impediment for us in getting a new way of being as an artist. I think that's one of the challenges for me too, is that, again, change is different and it's comfortable. It's easy to do certain things. I see this all the time in some of my classes on the most simple level when I'm working with people, where, why do you do that in that order in Lightroom? Well, that's what I've always learned. Well, there's a new tool out, or a better way to do that, or a more interesting way that'll give you more flexibility. I've always done this. I'm just comfortable with this. We're settling for something less because of that resistance to change. And I think that's one of the big pieces, is we cannot settle as a part of our creative process. We've got to continue to move that needle forward, take that step forward, and we can create more engaging work by not getting stuck in that change. Along that same edge there, as I talked about sort of that resistance to a workflow change, I think there's resistance to the work, the effort, and the focus required to do the work. And we just sometimes just don't want to make the photographs. We don't create them. We don't work on them. We don't pick up the camera. We don't do the work. And the resistance there, I think, is a little bit different than a resistance to change, because this is not something new. This is just we're not doing the work. And this, to me, is one of the big ones. This is one of the ones I get trapped in a lot. I always find something else that I think I should be working on that I can rationalize into being about the photography, but it's really a sense of, what is it that's keeping me from producing the work? Is it just a matter of time? Is it a matter of sitting down and doing the work? And what's interesting about the resistance of work is once you start working, the resistance is instantly gone. We get back into the love of the photography. We love looking at the images, processing the images. Everybody who says, oh, I haven't picked up my camera in 6 months, you're like, well, just pick it up and go outside. And they come back to like, oh my gosh, that was so amazing. I made so many photographs. All I had to do was pick up the camera. We're in that loop a lot where we just sort of get stuck to wanting to do the work. And for many of us, I think the idea of turning it sort of into a job is where we get stuck here. Oh, I've got to go process those photographs. Oh, I got to get the camera and I got to go make photographs. I don't know anybody who got into their photography because they wanted it to be something that they did not enjoy doing. But we somehow make some of these things in photography a job. And if we take them back to a creative expression, if we take them back to a joy of just doing something that we love and not work, it's easier to break through that resistance. It's not our job to go make amazing photographs. It's what we are wanting to do. It's what we crave to do. It's what we desire to do. But it's not the job. It's not the thing we have to do. And even if you're a full-time photographer, you're a full-time photographer making a living because you love the passion of photography. And when we say, oh, I got to go make those photographs, we're stuck in that rut. So that resistance to the work is what kind of breaks us there. So again, letting go of that it's work and accepting the appreciation for what it is becomes important. Which leads us to our third one, the resistance of acceptance. I think one of the things that's really important is that sometimes we have to accept what is. I have this idea to go make photographs and I have really bad weather. Or I want to process these photographs this way and I don't know how to do it. Or I want to play with compositing and use some of these new tools that are available to try to monkey with some work in ways I haven't before. Embracing change, trying new ideas. And I'm not very good at it. I haven't figured out the ways to use the tools properly. So I have to have a level of acceptance that I'm sort of where I'm at. I have to accept the gear I have. I have to accept a lot of things just to pick up that camera. And the resistance to that acceptance, that it's okay, wherever we're at is okay, wherever we're at is great, and we just embrace where we're at. So many times we want something to be different, and so many times it's not going to be different. So if we can let go of that resistance to accepting where we're at, we can then just allow ourselves to be where we're at and enjoy what we're doing when we pick up the camera, when we edit a photograph, when we print a photograph. We can just be what we are while we're doing it. And that's great. That's the whole sort of goal of this, is to get present focused. And a lot of being in the present is accepting of sort of where we're at. I think another one is the resistance of priorities. The resistance to priorities for me is, I always think about what I'm working on as being not necessarily the thing I should be working on. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier under sort of work and change. But the idea that, oh, I need to go out and mow the lawn, so I'm not going to do my photography. Oh, I need to clean up the studio, so I'm not working on my photography. Oh, I'm working on my photography, but I really should have been cleaning up Lightroom instead of making more photographs to put into my Lightroom catalog that are not organized. Whatever it is, I think about the priority of what I'm doing and weighing that against the other things in life. And that's really, for me, one of the key struggles is I need to, going back a little bit to acceptance, realize that I am doing the priorities in my life that I think are important to my life. Taking care of my family, taking care of the property I live on, taking care of my garden, taking care of all those things are important and they're priorities in my life. And we have this sort of perversion that we need to stack rank all the priorities. It is possible for it to be true that both my photography and my family and my garden and my yard and my dog are all my most important priority. That can all be true. And if you ask me to stack rank them, they can all be number one. It is a perversion that we can't have multiple important priorities or number one priorities or top priorities. And when we accept that what we're working on at the time is the thing we need to be working on, again, a lot of times our creative practice might be having a little bit of space. Now, there are times when we're resistant to getting the work done and we need to sit down and focus. We need to, again, return to that sense of what am I doing? How am I accomplishing things? And again, I believe a little bit of that comes from the shift of it's not work, it's who we're meant to be. But again, the priorities of who I'm meant to be as a photographer is creating work. And I allow that priority to be important, not that I'm penalizing myself with the priority. And that's really my point of the number one, multiple number ones, is most of the time when I listen to people talk about priorities and when I listen to my own head talk about my priorities, it's a negative concept. It's I am not prioritizing properly to get done the things I want to get done. First, I'm prioritizing the things that are important to me right now, and this right now is not the thing I'm working on, but that doesn't mean it's not important to me. That's a twisted perversion we put on priorities about how we do things. The fifth one is resistance to stubbornness. And some of you are going to say, well, how is stubbornness different than change? Stubbornness to me is the worst of all of them. Change comes out of fear. I don't know something. I'm worried about something. Or it lives in the space of, I don't even know what I don't know. So I don't even know I'm supposed to change to become better. New tools come out, new processes come out, new ideas that I haven't explored. That's where change sits. Stubbornness sits in arrogance and ego. And so I am resistant to doing something different because I think, I believe, I know it's all about my own ego. And when I'm unwilling to let my own ego out of the way, it is heavily influencing my inability to do anything effectively. And so part of being stubborn is I know that I'm not doing the right thing. I know that I'm not performing the way I should be. I know all of those things. And my resistance is out of angst, arrogance, to not wanting to admit I'm wrong, not wanting to admit there's a better way, whatever it is, I knowingly resist. So the difference between, again, change is things that we may not even be aware of, we may not know about, but stubbornness is we absolutely know. I know that I shouldn't be doing it that way, but I persist in doing it that way out of just stupidity, for lack of a better word. So that resistance to stubbornness, that resistance to not being stubborn, is the thing that I think drives a huge percentage of what we could let go of in our own creative process. Again, if I wasn't so tied up in my own ego and knowingly doing things the wrong way for whatever stupid reason, I could probably let a lot of things go. I could be more receptive and more open to things. And so as we think about resistance, and I'm sure there's a lot of other types and forms of resistance that people have in their lives and creative practice, but I'm sort of thinking about the ones that have impacted me at some point in the last foreseeable distance in the past that I could put my finger on them. You know, and that notion of change, work, prioritization, acceptance, and that idea of the stubbornness and not letting go of being stubborn, the resistance to not being stubborn, those things have all directly impacted some aspect of my creative process. And one of the things that's been interesting is just having a little bit of awareness around that, I think also makes a difference in my ability to respond to that work. If I look at something that I'm really struggling with or it's not working and I can identify and name that type of resistance, it helps me sort of contextualize it and think about how would I move past what I'm feeling angst about or struggle with. Because if it's stubborn, it's really just about letting go of the ego. If it's about acceptance, it might include forgiveness of my decision to prioritize one thing over another. Whatever it is, it gives me clarity of how to deal with the resistance and move past it. And again, it might take months. It might take a long time to move through that, or it might just be a really quick, easy movement down the field. I think about it in the field all the time. Sometimes I'm composing a photograph behind the camera and it's just not what I want. I know I want the photograph, but again, I got to run through what's not working. Where am I pushing back and just not allowing that creative expression to come through? Because that's the thing. Once the resistance is gone, the true creative expression can then come out of us and express what it needs to through our photography. And that is really the gift that not being present and stuck in resistance does is it gives us the type of photography we were meant to create at that moment. And that's a really wonderful gift we can give ourselves by letting go of some of that resistance. Now, like I said in the very beginning, I'm not saying that we don't ever have resistance or we should avoid it. I think resistance is a really interesting component of the way we approach our work and how we think our work. It's just one of the things that we need to process and work through and not get stuck in. Again, morning pages are a great way. Conversations are a great way. Just get it out of your own head so that your wheels that are spinning up there and going nowhere get some traction, and hopefully you can move on to something else. I hope you have a wonderful week behind the camera this week doing whatever fun, creative thing you do. Thanks again for listening to the podcast and being a subscriber. And if you're not a hit subscriber, hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening, and you'll always get notified with the latest and greatest episodes released every Monday. Again, you're listening to the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next time.